So I'm going to talk, and we're going to preach from James chapter 3. And this is the first Sunday of Advent, which is the hope candle, as Mark explained to you. And boy, do we have great hope in and through Jesus Christ, don't we? So, we're going to read from James chapter 3. You can remain seated. This is more of a teaching text. James is a controversial book because sometimes he tells us things we don't want to hear. But I believe it is still of truth. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, continuing in Jesus' name. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man be offended not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, so that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, a great matter, and a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among all our members, that it defiled the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, birds, serpents, and things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive branches, either a vine or figs? So can a fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is your word that's before us. We, by the flesh, don't have an understanding. We, by the flesh, cannot tame. We don't ask for the flesh today. We ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would allow us to surrender to the flesh, that we would surrender the flesh itself and rather come into the power of your Spirit to encourage us, to sanctify us, and to turn us to your word of truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever gotten yourself in trouble with your mouth? I don't need to look out there. I see a few shaking heads. Only one person going, no, I'm kidding. But the point being is we all have had a tendency. We might even say we put our foot in our mouth. We might say a lot of nice statements. But sometimes we get so passionate that we forget to even think. Now, I think one thing about the human being is very, very, very interesting. We have the ability to stop and to respond. Now, this text tells us very plainly that all manner of beasts, all manner of animals have been tamed upon this earth. And we can see evidence of that. We have a lot of pets. We have a lot of trained killer animals that are trained to do certain things. We've seen the evidence of this. But it says the tongue is wild. But we have something that is more unique than any other animal upon this earth. We have the ability... Oh, I lose a lot of people now. Hi. We have the ability to stop and think before we speak. I'll give you an example. Old Buppy's sitting in his living room and he's rocking back and forth in his chair. And the cat is in perfect time with its tail swinging under the rocker, just opposite of that rocker. But something gets goofed up. Somebody is off time. And Buppy rocks on the cat's tail. What happens? The cat screams, goes nuts, and takes off running because it does not have the ability to stop and respond. It reacts to pain. It reacts. I'm not giving you a biology lesson. I want you to understand this is how we are when we act in the flesh. But we have this ability. And I'll give you a great example of this, and I think I've shared this example with you one time before. I was working on a pickup truck with my father-in-law, who was a minister in Nuipsich congregation. And I see I have to talk here. He was a minister in the Nuipsich congregation, so I really had a reverence for him. And I was newer to faith. And I turned around and I smashed my knuckles trying to get a transmission in, and I was so mad. This thing was just giving us grief. And we were laying underneath this truck trying to hold the tranny up, and I smashed my fingers in between the tranny and the bell housing. Or the bell housing and the motor. And anyways, I turned around and my father-in-law says, "What's wrong with this thing?" And I was just so red in the face, and I said manure in Finn. I didn't say buska because I can't say that in the pulpit. So, but I'm outside of it. I said that. I wanted to think. So I stopped and I responded in that way. My father-in-law said, "I know Finn, you know." But then he looked at me and he said, "But you're right." Have you had that circumstance when you're working with someone and maybe you smash your finger or maybe you got your finger caught somewhere and you have learned that you cannot just say whatever comes to your mind, even in the angst of pain? We have the ability to do this, and this is what James is trying to tell us. He says very plainly that we need to tame our tongue. And too many times in this world that we live in, we don't tame our tongues. We look at the news nowadays and we want actually people to get us. They want us to actually shock and awe us. So they say whatever they want and they don't even think about what they say. And the more radical it can be, the more we actually listen. The more we actually take it in or publicize it. But it doesn't make it right. We live in a time where we deal with so much anxiety and so much stress that sometimes we want to blow off steam. And we have a tendency to want to just rant and rave about certain things. But this is exactly what James is saying. You need to be careful about what you're speaking. We have pastors, we have teachers, we have all kinds of individuals that stand up and just spew forth their great knowledge or their great understanding without giving consideration of what they're saying. I'm not saying all. But we have a lot of people that seem to be experts in nothing. And what I'm bringing to your attention is there is a responsibility to what we speak. We cannot just stand up for an agenda. We cannot just stand up for a political stance or even a Christian or a religious stance. We must have understanding of what we are bringing forth to the world. You cannot come into someone's life and destroy them by spewing out a bunch of garbage that you don't really know anything about. And there is a great responsibility. And if you think I'm crazy, read James. This is what James really says. "May there not be many of you that should become teachers." That's what he says. "Not many of you should become teachers." In this day and age, everybody's a teacher. He says, "My brothers," he says, "why? Because you understand, you know, we who teach will what? Be judged with a greater strictness." There is accountability to what we say. How many times have we heard people get on YouTube, get on Facebook, get in our pulpits, get in our faces, and spew out a bunch of garbage that they really don't have any proof of? There's accountability. And this is the greatest thing that you understand and know in Jesus Christ. He sees all. He knows all. And James is saying, don't take this lightly. We need to be accountable to what we speak. Are we, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, are we exemplifying? Are we showing Christ Jesus? Or are we representing our own thoughts? Are we representing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or is it the gospel of Jesus Christ plus what I believe? You turn around and you look in life and you see how people argue over such interesting things. You know, the aspect of who can be baptized. We can argue over the aspect of when does the Holy Spirit come? And these are just very plain examples that the church often will argue about. And trust me, we argue over a lot goofier things than that. Do you know in the book of Acts there's four different ways the power of the Holy Spirit is given to an individual? So many churches and so many congregations lay claim to one way, and this is the way. Because we like to dictate who can and who cannot. But God is beyond our box. And James tells us very plainly, you can't just stand up and you can't start chastising people thinking you're the authority on everything. There is one authority, and that is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And He has kept nothing back for us. So He comes out and He says, don't think that there can be a whole pile of teachers. Don't think this is just an easy place to be. He says, because the individual that teaches is actually held quite accountable to what they speak. May we be examined for what we speak. I think it's very, very important to understand that the words that we speak are so important. Not just as preachers. Each and every one of us. You guys remember Pastor Clay Hillman? Yeah, we remember him very well, don't we? He owns KCB Bunkers or whatever, but he's a dynamic preacher, actually. And I went to a wedding service of his many years ago. My wife and I went. And he had probably one of the best wedding messages I've ever heard in my life. And he talked, really, his whole sermon message for the wedding was, "And God said." That was it. That was the text. And he spoke about the understanding in marriage that words can build up or tear down. Well, there's another one back here. Build up or tear down. And he talked about the importance in marriage of building up and not tearing down. And we need to understand that also, that words, we have the ability in words to build up or tear people down. And what are we? We are encouragers in and through Jesus Christ to bring hope to this world, to bring the understanding of actually salvation. Even the very word salvation, doesn't that bring a hope? We are not destroyers. So to understand that words have power, and our words have power, whether we are dealing in pulpits, whether we are dealing in marriages or we're dealing with our children, whether we're dealing in business, we have the ability to encourage or to tear down. Often we have a tendency to want to hurt with words, don't we? I'm very much that way. I know in my flesh I am very, very much that way. As my wife describes me, she says, "You've been hurt with words a lot in your life, so therefore you want to hurt people with words." And I feel it at times. When someone hurts me, I want to retaliate. But remember how we opened this message, and I know this may not be a great preaching message, but we have the ability, as the children of God, to stop and respond instead of reacting. So he says, when people are teaching, understand there's a great accountability. And then he turns around and he says, but, you know, understand this. James is not foolish. He says, we all stumble. Every one of us stumbles. Who's a great example of stumbling with words? Peter. Peter is a great example of that. He was on fire for Christ. There's no way around it. He was excited to be with him, but yet he said things without thinking quite often. A lot of us have that. My coach used to tell me in high school, he says, you have constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. Not a very nice saying, is it? But it's pretty true. Sometimes I don't quite think and I say. You turn around and you look at what James is saying here. He says, you know, we all have stumbles. We all have these issues in many ways. And he turns around and he says, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he says he's a perfect man. We lose sight of what a perfect man means. Actually, more from the context that this is written, he says he's really matured in faith. Have we matured in faith? Have we really come to the terms in our life where we can look back? And I'm speaking especially to those, maybe that not may not be aged as far as an age on earth, but have been in the body of Christ for a long time. Do we find that we mature in faith? See, I don't believe in progressive sanctification. In other words, the longer that we believe, the more saved we are. That's a bunch of garbage. We are saved upon faith. But I believe we do mature in faith. And there's an interesting part of this. When you mature in faith, you also then have this ability to look at others. And we can either react to others or we can respond to others. And this is what I'm going to say about that. When we react to others and their actions in life, especially when they're not quite where we are in faith, we have a tendency to judge them. But when we see people doing certain things or saying certain things and we respond, we have a tendency to understand they're not quite where we're at yet. Maybe they're not quite there. Why do we gauge people with the yardstick of our years? It's like when someone comes to faith, we get so excited, don't we? We're very excited. When they come to church, they come to faith, they're starting to get involved, and we're like, yes, we've been praying for this for you for many, many years, and we're so excited. And then we forget, and when they do something that we don't quite like, what's wrong with you? Don't you get it? You shouldn't be doing that. They're not where you're at yet. God hasn't revealed everything to them yet. Do we not continue to grow and mature? And so he says, really, the person that doesn't stumble actually is coming to quite a maturity in faith. That's what he's saying. He watches his tongue. He watches what he says. He watches, in reality, how he deals with people. And this is not just he as a man, but as us as believers. He is a perfect individual, a mature one in faith. Also able to bridle what? The whole body. And this is really something. He says, We oftentimes, and this is my own words, we oftentimes put so much emphasis on what? The physical body. We really do. Especially when we start dealing with our sports individuals. I'm not a big sports guy, so I'm not going to pretend to name some for you because, you know, sports is not a sin to me because I could care less about it. But the fact of it is, we do. We idolize the person's abilities and body, but then we all of a sudden hear them talk sometimes and we're like, that doesn't jive with me. They may be great at this, but they really are terrible here. It actually kind of depicts who the person is. They may be the greatest NFL player that you can find, but if they don't have a tongue that goes along with it, then you don't have a lot of value for them. And so it's very, very interesting when he comes out in that way. So he comes along and he basically talks about this person that is able to be mature in faith. They can actually keep their whole body in check. And then he gives this great description. We have these big horses, big animals. They're very powerful. We use them for plows. We use them for so many things, especially back in the day, right? But you would control that whole animal by putting a bit in its mouth. And you could get it to turn. You could get it to do whatever you want. You manipulate that horse by its mouth. Also, our mouth depicts who we are. Now you say, this could be kind of an earthly message, but we're going to get more to the spiritual, don't worry. We deal in a difficult world, we deal with difficult struggles, and this tells us in reality that we are able to overcome in and through Jesus Christ. He says, we turn around and we put these bits in their mouth and they obey us. They guide their whole bodies as well. In other words, that one little thing, that one member of that animal is controlled by that. He says, look also to the ships, understanding the great influence that a small member can have. He says, though they be huge, and they're actually driven by something you can't see, but is extremely powerful, wind. They're driven by the wind. But that whole vessel is controlled by the little rudder. Ever think of that? Judy and I had the blessing. One of our friends bought us a beautiful cruise, and we went on this cruise, and this ship was huge. We stayed on the 14th floor last year of this ship. It's just amazing to see swimming pools. I've never seen anything. I'm a Uper boy. I've never seen anything so big. To think that you had literally like 30 restaurants on a ship. Shopping malls. It's just insane. But yet it was all controlled by the tail end rudders. The captain of the ship said it was the roughest cruise he's ever seen in 30 years of being at sea. And yet we still stayed in control. He put us in one port that everybody said nobody would be able to get into. The people that were taking care of us said, this captain is so good, nobody else would have ever brought that ship in that we've ever sailed with. Because it was so rough, but he got it in. Controlled all by that. Can you imagine the power? And this is what James is saying. Do you understand that by what we say, what we speak, in reality determines what the world sees in us, who we are? We stand up as bold Christians, but yet do our words, do they testify of Christ? Do they testify of restoration? Do they testify of whom we are by the redemption of Christ? Do we respond to issues? Do we respond to stress, to anxiety? Or do we react? I don't need to look out there. I'm a reactor. But boy, I try. And I pray for the ability to respond. But sometimes God teaches you. He doesn't just give it to you. So anyways, he turns around and he says, the tongue is such a small member, but yet it boasts of great things, doesn't it? As human beings, we turn around and we understand that about people. That really, this is one of the smallest members we have, but boy, we sure do talk. And we boast. We turn around and we listen even in our politics and we hear boasting all the time. But who's telling the truth? I don't know. And how do we know? He says so that it's the smallest member, but it sure does a lot of boasting. He says, in reality, how great a forest is set ablaze with such a small fire. And we can understand that. Think about some young kids out doing some camping and you have, thousands of acres of forest and they don't put out their fire, and what happens? The next thing you know, there's a forest fire and you look on the west coast and you got some big, big issues. Well, it started with a campfire, right? No. Started maybe with a match. That's how small. The words we say, the things that we say, what we represent as Christians in this world can impact so much. We have people around us. Not only are we going through difficulty, not only are we dealing with anxiety, not only are we dealing with the struggles of the holiday season, other people also are too. And what we say can set such a fire. So now, go back to the first verse. Is there a responsibility? There's an immense responsibility to speak in reality that would be edifying, that would be helpful. So he turns around. And he says, and this tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness, really. And he speaks very strongly here of the Christian, of the earthly tongue, not the Christian tongue. He says, the tongue is set among all our members and really straining, bringing difficulty to the whole body. How often has our own words caused us all more grief? As with me, many times. I don't need to look to you. He says, setting on fire an entire course of life, in reality, brings about the whole destruction, is what he says. And I think it's very, very interesting. What does Jesus say? Remember when the Pharisees came to him and said, how come your disciples are eating with unwashed hands? What does Jesus say? It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but by this tongue, what comes out. And reality defiles the man. So many times we look to the external. So many times we look to everything else in people's lives and we miss exactly. If you want to really know who somebody is, speak with them. Talk to them. We have a tendency to judge, as we say, a book by its cover, but yet then we don't even spend a moment to talk to them. How do we really know? And I'm going to go in an opposite direction for you for a moment. Keep talking about talking with somebody. Have you ever talked to an individual that you didn't really know was a Christian? and I'm going to be a little judgmental here, maybe you thought it was on the more outskirts, but then when you sit down and you actually talk to them, your spirit testifies with them, and you really are encouraged by speaking with them, and you realize they are believers. It's not what goes into the mouth. We judge people according to what they eat, how they dress, what they drink, what they do. Oftentimes we judge so much according to the external, and we have a tendency to speak that judgment into a world. But yet when we sit and talk to somebody, we actually can understand. Somebody could have a glass of wine and still be a Christian. Who thunk it? Somebody could be this or that and be a Christian. Who would have ever thunk it? Your spirit testifies, because that in reality is the heart of the matter. That is the spirit testifying with your spirit, the encouragement. And that's when Jesus says very plainly, it's not what goes into the mouth, but rather what comes out of the mouth. He says, every beast of this earth, every kind of living being has been able to be tamed. He says, but what? No human being can tame the tongue. And that is truth. We can't do it. And God knew we couldn't do it. So He came and He did it for us. He paid for the penalty of sin. He paid for every negativity that I would speak. He paid for the false doctrine of so many men, and now calls us in our ignorance to turn and to repent and to believe in what He has come and given and done. And He calls for us not only now to live, but also with the mouth, it says in the Scripture, to testify, to speak of what He has done. See, we talked about anxiety. We talked about the struggles living in this world. We talked about the aspect we can only do it in and through Jesus Christ. And now today we are speaking about the aspect of we testify with our mouth of the living Jesus Christ, who is our hope and who is our inspiration. Everything else of this world has been able to be tamed in some manner and fashion. But the human could not tame his own tongue. It got him in trouble. So Christ came. And He gave us perfection. And James is saying very plainly, we must be conformed. And that is the greatest call to the Christian, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we may be His ambassadors, that we may enter into this world and represent Him. Man, I hope we can do that in this Christmas season. I pray that we can enter into this world and not be afraid of it. Not be afraid of all what we see. Not be afraid of what may be coming out of the closet as a boogeyman. But rather that we can enter into this world with new tongues, with a new song, and that we can encourage those around us to behold that Lamb who takes the sin of the world away. May our message be of truth. May our message be powerful in Christ Jesus. And may we actually not be a spring of diluted water, but may we speak forth the living water of Jesus Christ to each and every person that we encounter. For man, He is good. I may not be, but He is. And He loves us so much, He gave it to us. May we receive, may we drink, and may we share that living water with the world around us. Remember what Mom used to say? If you can't say anything nice, what? Don't say anything at all. We can think before we speak. So this Christmas season, may we give that gift to the world. Let's think before we speak. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to spend time around Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You encourage us in and through Your Word. And we pray, Father, that You would sanctify us in this truth. We ask that You would give us ears to hear this week, but also mouths slow to speak. Allow us to take time to respond instead of reacting. Whether we're dealing with our children, dealing with our wives, our husbands, our bosses, or our enemies, You have given us new tongues. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.